Welcome to Tip Talks. We've got Tim, Ryan, and myself, Marie-France, here to give you a teaser and illuminate the main stage speakers.
So today we're joined by Mr. Peter Katz. Peter is a Juno Award, Canadian Screen Award, and two-time Canadian Folk Music Award nominated singer-songwriter. He is also a four times TEDx fellow, and his music has been featured in several popular TV shows and movies, as well as CBC's television's 2016 Rio Olympic and Paralympic coverage. He'll be speaking on the bigger picture thinking, the value of human connection as part of the pre-event programming on April 14th at 11:45 a.m. for the event.
And believe it or not, Peter's actually our second Juno musician on the podcast. So when we first started the podcast, we had a few guests that didn't have the right mic on. And actually, we had one of us one time didn't have our right mic, and we were recording. And you're like, well, shit, no. There was lots of good conversation in there. We can't get rid of this, but you make do with it.
Totally.
But the more people we talk to, the better setups they have. So
yes, as this year is going on, we're seeing a definite trend.
We had David Usher on our podcast, and he actually had a full AI version of Einstein behind him on a big LED.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Wow.
Yep. Have you listened to any of our episodes of our podcast at all? Or
I was just I was listening just for the last like 20 minutes in preparation.
Yeah. Which episode?
I've got it pulled up right here. It was Anthony Vade.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Okay. Good. What made you choose Anthony Vade?
I know Anthony from LinkedIn interactions, and we've also, he's been the like MC at an event that I was.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
So, you know, in his like layer. I find him to be an interesting guy.
The reason I ask is and we don't need all of our listeners to be fans of ours, but just how much you got a sense for how we kind of operate. It's very low key, very casual. Yeah. We call it kind of like bar stool conversations.
It's funny you talk about having like a bar stool conversation, and my whole body reacted to that of like, oh my gosh, like sitting with a beer, having a friend, just like
at the beginning of COVID, I was getting like three or four invites a week to drink on Zoom, and it just kind of went by the wayside.
Like, is this drinking alone? Is it drinking alone?
Yeah.
By definition, I guess it is, but
so I know you're a very accomplished musician and now keynote speaker and songwriter, but I'm curious, of all your accolades and all your experiences, is there one or ones that mean the most to you?
Yeah, right away. I mean, the best thing that's ever happened to me in my career is actually the most unexpected thing, which was, I do talk about this in my keynote, but was showing up in this small town in southern Alberta, Fort McLeod, never been there before, never heard of it before, and walked out on stage and there were 300 people there that knew all of my songs. Oh, wow. And I was very much scratching my head as to like, what happened here? And long story short, this youth mentoring program had been using my songs as part of their curriculum. And long story short, I 8 years later, I now actually run that program every summer. I'm one of a few people that runs that program.
Cool. And,
you make a song, you make songs in your bedroom, you have kind of no control as to whether they're going to find a way out there. And, you know, the youth that I've gotten to work with and the people, the friendships, you know, of the people that I work with doing that work every summer are literally the greatest people on earth. And that's the most rewarding thing that's ever happened from my music.
How early was that in your career?
I've got some photos of them nearby.
That was
about 7 years in. So, about 7 years in. And it was honestly, that was quite a turning point. I had been thinking, I don't know if this is working. And, and then that was the moment where I was like, oh, it's working in a way that I never would have anticipated. Mm. And it's funny too. I'm only kind of thinking about this right now as we're talking, but those people, you know, who have become some of my very best friends who I do that mentoring work. They were the ones that encouraged me to get into speaking. My friend Dave, you know, cause a lot of them are teachers, and my friend Dave you know, pulled me aside one day in the summer and he said, "Hey, you know, I've seen what you're like on stage and the stories that you tell, and I've seen you work with youth." And he said, "You know, I'm a teacher and we have speakers that come into our schools all the time." And he said, "You could do that really well." And so he actually helped me craft a talk. Anytime I was touring through Alberta, we would go for lunch together. He would take the afternoon off for professional development. Mm-hmm. And we would work on a talk. And that's really how I got my start in speaking, was because of my friend Dave. And then eventually I started speaking to grownups as well, but it all kind of started there. So that was a very life-changing moment.
We're a bunch of people who love to give back. And I think there's something pretty serendipitous about giving back, and that's kind of how you carve your path. And sometimes it's a path you didn't even think was going to happen. Mm. So you fit right in with our crowd. That's for sure.
You've got two other accolades that not everybody knows about. And one of them is that you rock a V-neck way better than Tim Whalen does. And I don't know. I told him. Said, Tim's been embarrassed by these shirts we made up because of how low the V comes. And you pull it off. So I would like to.
Thank you. It's not quite as low, though. Our Illuminate Project swag, we've got a very deep V-neck. So
we've learned we got to spend more on our clothing.
He's very modest, Tim. Tim doesn't like to show too much skin.
And the other thing that kind of blew me away, and we're going to get into your latest album a little bit later on, one of your YouTube videos and the number of views, I saw 17 million views. How does that make you feel?
You know, that's an interest. I feel like I could build a whole like talk just about that video, you know, because it's, you know, I've made a lot of videos in my life. I've done a lot of things with a lot of great intention, you know, of like spending all the money and hiring all the people and doing all the things. And you plan it and you strategize and you market, you do all this stuff. That video, one of my best friends, and he called me up one day and he said, "Hey, Meg and I are getting married and we'd love for you to play during the ceremony." And I'm like, "Oh gosh, I'm honored. Of course, you know, what Peter Katz song would you like to hear?"
Yeah. Oh no.
There was this like long pause and he said, "Well, actually Meg wants you to play a Beyonce song." So I was like, "Okay, absolutely."
Less
so
humbled.
Yeah. Well, I was like, anything for you. So I did this, you know, arrangement of Halo, and I played it at his wedding and they loved it. And then about a year later, during a low period in my life where I was actually of no fixed address for a while, I was kind of house jumping, and I was staying at a friend of a friend's cottage, kind of trying to put my life back together. And so I decided to learn Pro Tools. You know, I was like, "Okay, I'm going to might as well make the most of this time and learn Pro Tools." And I was like, "Well, what song do I want to produce?" And it was coming up to the 1 year anniversary of their wedding. So I was like, "All right, well, why don't I just do a version of this song and send it to them?" And I didn't really know how to comp vocals or like that's just like one vocal take. I just did it and sent it off to them. And then they loved it so much. He's like, "Hey, let me come to your house. I'll just film you playing this song and I'll just give it to you for free." And so he just did it, put it, you know, gave it to me. We put it up on the internet and 17 million views.
But oh my God. The trick to success, I think, is Beyonce, always Beyonce.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. Yeah. You spend like $20,000 on another music video, and you like, you know, hire publicists and marketing people, and that gets like 100,000 views, which I'm thankful for. But this is like mind of its own. So.
Now it's not your lyrics, but your voice was in it, and it is chilling. Great. It's a beautiful song. It's well.
Well,
done.
The reason we asked that question is Ryan also sings a great version of that song, so we're gonna leave.
No, you don't want to hear.
I'm kidding.
You, Tim, you and I can have a V-neck off, and Ryan and I can have a halo off.
Exactly. Goodness. Well, speaking of music, so I've just spent the last week listening to your latest album. It's been really fun, called City of Our Lives. And I love the description of it, which it's described as an ecstatic free fall into the unknown. For anybody who hasn't downloaded it, I suggest you do it. It's great. I've been listening to it nonstop for a week. And I just felt like it was like you're telling a story, and I was kind of curious, like, what story were you telling? And it just feels so fitting for this last year, especially. I think we've had to let go of a lot of things, or maybe preconceptions or roles or different things that we've had to do.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like the album was actually completed in 2018.
Okay.
It really is an album about going through some of your hardest things. I mean, the opening track on the album Paper Thin, literally the lyric is, when your biggest fear it ends up coming true, that's when you find out what you have inside of you. Yes. I'm braver than I ever could have known. These days have shown that to me.
When your biggest fear it ends up coming true, it's when you find out what you have inside of you. I am braver than I ever could have known. These days have shown that to me.
Ooh. Wow. It's so beautiful. And it's like, and then you say something like, everything falls apart, and it's really great.
Did you know this was coming then, or was that...
I did not.
He's an artist. But, it's serendipitous.
No,
again.
But I mean, boom. You know? Like, if there's any better way to describe what everyone's gone through the past year, there it is.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the whole theme of the album is you know, like, we don't wish to go through hard things. Like, none of us sit there and wish that. But it's always the case that that's where we actually figure out what we're made of. That's where we develop our resilience. You go through those things, and then you actually become a more solid person. You know, I mean, I think you have a choice. Like, I always say, like, you can just grow old. And as you grow old, you can, you know, get weighed down and become bitter and just grow old. But if you want to grow old and wise, then when you go through those hard things, you kind of figure out what they're trying to teach you. And so I went through, you know, a couple of big things. I went through, you know, the loss of a marriage, and then I fell off a 100-foot cliff.
Oh my God.
Actually doing the mentoring work that we talked about, and I couldn't walk for the better part of a year, and it got really dark where they told
Holy
me
smokes.
I had my leg amputated. Like, it was quite a lot. But again, it, you know, you don't wish to go through these things, but it's amazing what they teach you. And this album is one of the gifts that came out of those challenges. And and there's been many gifts, you know, even especially during the pandemic, you know, I walk every single day at least for an hour. And just the act of walking, which I used to just do, now I sometimes tear up, because there was a time where I thought I might never be able to walk. And now just being able to walk feels like this amazing gift, and I would only feel that way because I know what it's like to not be able to do that. So I feel like the album captures a lot of that, but I wanted to wrap it in a package of pop music. So you're like, the way that I put it is like, you're dancing on the same kitchen floor that you used to be crying on, you know? So I didn't want it to be like heavy on heavy. I wanted it to be jubilant, like celebrating the things that you learn.
Well, and you sort of, you're sharing that gift with us. I think, I think that's really beautiful. And because we've all collectively been through this hard time, it just, your album is just so fitting. I think the release date was meant to be at this time,
Well, I wonder what new, simple new appreciations that society will all have when we come out of this past year.
And like sitting at a bar.
Start to do things that we took for granted before. Yes. Like walking, like sitting at a bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Meeting together again, you know? Yeah. Seeing these two guys, we haven't seen each other since a long while ago. So it's been a year and a bit.
So Peter, you have kind of dual approach. So you have your music, and that I know through your lyrics that you're very big on human connection. But you also have your speaking side. And I think you do a lot of deep connection through your speaking and your keynotes as well. Mm-hmm. Now, here's my question for you. You think you can connect with people more through your music or through your keynote?
It's funny, like I don't want to disparage my music, because I love music, but so many times in my music career, before I ever got into speaking, people would walk up to me at the merch table afterwards and they would reflect how much that story hit them, you know, like how much the things that I had said in between the songs were part of the reason that they were coming to the show. And I get the exact same feedback from my talks is people, they talk about the talking parts and they're like, oh, and we love the music, but they don't emphasize the music as much as they emphasize the impact of the stories, and some of the takeaways. So the way that I've always thought about it is like, you know, my music career is my laboratory, and my speaking career is where I present my results. And like the hardest thing that I do.
That's great. I love that.
Oh, thank. Well, I should give credit to my friend Blake Fly, another wonderful speaker.
Oh, you're too humble. You can take it. I think that's great. What a great way to put it.
But like the music, you know, like trying to pull something out of the air that doesn't exist, mm-hmm. is a really hard thing to do. Like you don't know if it's good. You don't know if it's finished. You don't know if you need another verse, if you change this word, if it's like there's just a million things. And so I feel like songwriting it's like the hardest, not like emotionally, but it, you know, or like challenges of life, but it's like the hardest thing that I do, to like create something out of nothing. I'm always trying to connect with people, and I just see the creative process as like the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And I'll never get it right. Or maybe you get like one moment right. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like there's just this symbiotic relationship between the two. And in trying to solve, like, how do I deliver this to people? You know, like there's so much more to the craft of connection than just like the right lyric and the right melody. It's also, you know, it's also in my presence. It's also in the interactions that I have with people afterwards. It's also in the, like, the personal work that you have to do in order to create something that's real and has that authenticity.
Pick something out there that really surprised me, and that, you know, when people do something well, usually it's that thing is easy for them. And you're a brilliant songwriter, but it sounds like it is hard work, that process to get those results that you want.
Well, absolutely, because the thing about it is the bar is always getting raised every single time. I'm raising the bar myself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's this great essay by, I'm blanking on it right now, but Ira Glass. I got it. Mm-hmm. So Ira Glass has this great essay about taste and talent. And he says, you know, when you're a creator at the beginning of your creative life, there's this big gap between your taste and your talent. So you're like, I love Radiohead. Like, you know, they're a great band. And then you write a song, and you're like, oh, this sounds kind of like Hootie and the Blowfish, or, you know, whatever. Not to knock Hootie and the Blowfish, but they wrote some great songs.
No, it's too late. It's out there.
Okay, I'm sorry.
We're not Hootie. Editing it. That's it. That's staying in.
Yeah, no, I mean, they've done very well. I'm calling Hootie. We'll say it sounds like Mary Had a Little Lamb. Let's say that.
Sure.
Not to disparage some songwriter. But, you know, you have your taste, and then you have your talent, and the two are mismatched. But his point was like, well, what you have to do is you have to just keep writing. You have to keep creating. Right. And over time, what happens is your talent eventually matches your taste after, like, you know, 20 years. And you're like, oh, I actually made something that I actually think is good.
Yeah.
But then the bar just keeps getting raised and raised and raised. So I find it, if anything, it gets harder and harder and harder. And I guess the other thing that comes to mind too is some songs fly out of me in 20 minutes. And those are like the little miracles that you just kind of thank the songwriting gods for. And, but if I only had, you know, built my career based on waiting for those songs to come, I would not have a career right now. You know, I really believe in, you have to like make the appointment to write and inspiration will follow, and you have to roll up your sleeves and do the work.
And I think what makes you a professional, or any professional, really good at what they do, is that you do make it look easy. And that's the sign of being in your element. You know, there's a lot of, there is a lot of hard work that goes into it, but if you make it look easy, then you've done your job, I think. So.
Well, and it actually kind of goes back to our last podcast as well, that a lot of people don't see the failures, and you've had some, you know, some ups and downs, and well, your final product is fantastic, but it wasn't easy to come up with. So that's pretty clear. We have a segment in our regular podcast that we call temporary or transformational. We want to throw this at you and throw a question at you that kind of brings us back to the current times, our current reality. And I'm going to let you choose the music industry or the speaker industry and ask you, what is something that you have observed in the last, let's say, year that you think is either temporary or transformational?
Well, there's been a lot more speaking work than music work these days. although, you know, there's some stuff brewing again that I'm excited for. Hopefully the album's going to get like a second life. But I think, you know, the way that I see so many things right now, like especially the speaking in the event space, is mm-hmm. like it's the Wild West again. In that there's no rules all of a sudden, and that's exciting and it's terrifying. Right. But there's unbelievable opportunity. And like just today, I was doing a keynote showcase for like agents in the US. And then I was dropping in on this men's group that's, you know, based in the Southern US. And then I was, you know, part of this mastermind group of people all over the world. And I could just like play songs and tell stories and do my thing. And I feel like that is not temporary. You know, the fact that if you harness the tools that are available to you and you like see the medium for what it is, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm not going to log into a Zoom to do a keynote and look at it as like, well, let me just do a lesser version of an in-person talk.
Right.
So
thank you for saying it.
Well, it's so important.
Living it every day.
Well, because then you're sort of viewing everything from the sense of limitation, and it's actually a massive opportunity. Like when I'm in a giant theater in front of 2,000 people, I can't get up to the microphone and like look somebody right in the eye. It's kind of intimacy. Right. Like I just can't do that, you know? It's like I actually, you know, did my degree in theater, and we also studied film. And like if you're in a giant theater with 2,000 people in it and you like raise your eyebrow, nobody sees it. Whereas if you're in a close up on camera and you raise your eyebrow, like you could send a chill down everybody's spine. So, to me, what is exciting is there's this whole new format, which really is just like live television, I guess. Like if you think about the actual image that I set in my mind for my keynotes and my concerts is I want it to be like you're watching Netflix, but the guy is talking back to you in real time. Like you almost think it's pre-recorded, but the guy can answer your questions, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that to me, I think is not a temporary thing. I think it's transformative. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to allow so many more opportunities to happen. It's going to allow people like me to be in more places. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it has to be a lesser thing. I think it's just a different thing. You know?
I couldn't agree more. I love that. I love it. Come speak to my clients. You know, and all the more reason why thank you so much for being part of the event this year in its inaugural year. You know, the event was conceived at the beginning to try and break down all the barriers and think about things differently. So what better opportunity than this, right? And what better opportunity for everybody there to hear you talk, because I think
absolutely
the description of your talk already is going to be amazing. And I think we got a few little hints of where it might lead to. And I just want to, we just want to thank you so much for being part of this. And I'm sure everyone's going to be really eager to hear you speak.
Yeah. Oh, it's my pleasure. Definitely want to throw myself behind the people that are like, you know what, we're going to do this anyways. Yeah. And we're going to find a way to do it in a way that's never been done before. So I'm always happy to put my name and my time and energy behind that.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Tip Talks. If you like what you heard, check out other main event speakers, Erica M. and Sarah McFannell, and come and hang out with us on our session on Friday, April 16th, where we talk more about the Illuminate Project podcast and what makes innovators tick and when to defy or maintain the status quo.